Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Kevin and Andrew, and we are the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, coming to you on a Sunday afternoon. Andrew, the night after Kansas destroys Texas Tech in a budding rivalry. How are you doing, Andrew?
Very budding, but not as budding as the KUK State rivalry, which I think got a shot in the arm thanks to our favorite player, Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk.
Yes.
Putting a dagger, walking it through the entire body of the K-State fans, walking being the operative word. I was at both of those games. I want to talk about them.
Yes.
And I want to talk about how much fun it is to have K-State fans be so mad.
It is nice. It's a nice feeling, really. As soon as that game was over, I immediately took to Twitter and just went straight to Cap Lock Troll Town. I mean, it was a gleeful time for me on the old Twitter right after that game. Let's get into that here shortly. I wanted to touch on a few things immediately, though, Andrew. I got a little story to tell, and I want you to tell me if I did the right thing here. You know, we occasionally will bounce things off each other, you know, just kind of like, you know, life issues. Hey, what should I do for this scenario? What should I do in this scenario? I want to know if you would have done what I did in this particular scenario. I get a call.
I've got a name for this segment.
Okay.
We're going to call it the Naismith Court.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay. Where you walk. It's like the court. Like the court has to make a decision on it. It's the Naismith Court.
All right. Well, you be the judge of the Naismith Court on this particular fact pattern.
Hear ye, hear ye. The January whatever edition of the Naismith Court is in session. Kevin, what say you?
All right. So what happened was this. I get a call from my dad a few days ago, and he says, hey, good news. I've got 4 courtside tickets to the KU Texas Tech game. And when we say courtside, we mean the ones that are like next or like on the table, you know, like the table with the advertisements where the people sit and like the ball goes over and people
like
dive over.
The media ones.
The media type table, exactly. Not front row tickets. These are the courtside tickets. 4 of them, Andrew. So my mom and my dad and my wife and I would go, right? And I was like, awesome. That sounds great. We've set in those tickets a few times. In fact, you and I have set in those tickets before, right?
For Radford.
For Radford, exactly. But, you know, pretty great experience, right? Totally different world.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. So I'm all excited. I send my wife a text. I'm at work and I'm like, hey, guess what? We got tickets to this game on Saturday. And she kind of replies and says, that's my dad's birthday. And we had talked about this a little bit, like, okay, what are we doing for your dad's birthday? What are we doing? It's like his 60th birthday. You know, are you going to dinner? Are we doing something? Are you know, baking a cake, whatever. And in my mind, we hadn't really landed on like an official plan yet. So I thought this would be a little malleable, you know, like we might be able to move some things around. And she says, we've got a dinner that night with my dad's birthday, and kind of implying we can't go to the game. And so my response back, of course, is something like, is that like official? Is this actually happening? Or is this kind of one of those like optional things? And she replies back and kind of says something like, well, you can go, but I'm going to the dinner, right? One of those deals.
I think we all know what that really means.
It means you're going to pay for it if you go. But that's how I took it. And I think that's probably accurate. So, Andrew, I turned down the KU tickets. I went to dinner with my father-in-law, which it was a lovely dinner. And my father-in-law is great. No problems there. The in-laws are great. You're about to be married, Andrew, so you're gonna be dealing with these types of problems. You probably already started. What do you have done? Did I do the right thing here?
I don't think you had a choice.
Yeah.
I think you did the right thing. And what did you have? What did you get to eat?
It was Friday night, right? So I had pizza. No pizza days off.
It was Saturday, actually.
Oh, crap. Well, Saturday's a pizza day, too. I had a lovely pizza. I actually tweeted the pizza out during the game. Okay.
at least you got a pizza out of it. I mean, that's
right.
Like some consolation.
And it was a good pizza.
I think you did the right thing. And the only thing you can really hope, and I don't think it's guaranteed in this situation, that it comes back around for you down the line, because this is a big sacrifice you made.
I know. And here's the thing. I don't think it's going to be an immediate, you know, I don't think I got points for this. This was not a, oh, wow, you really sacrificed. You're going to get something back in return immediately. It was not that. I think it was more of an expectation type of thing. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to store that one away, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to store that one away. I'm going to remember that. And then, you know, something comes up. I'm going to be like, hey, you know what? Remember the time when we turned down those 4 courtside tickets and I did that other thing? We need to, you know, pay that forward. And so we'll see if that actually works. It probably won't, but.
So yeah. The only other, I'll just bring this up really quick. The only other time that I can think of is that I was in my cousin's wedding, and it was during like game 3 of the Royals Orioles playoff game a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, so how firm are we on the time of this wedding? Like, when I agreed to be an usher at your wedding, the Royals were about 500. I did not think that this was going to happen. Things have changed since then.
Right.
But well, anyway, I had to watch it on Gamecast. Sorry.
What's worse is, of course, I log into the good book, the Facebook, and see my mom is just posting pictures left and right, like 2 feet from Sviatoslav, 2 feet from the, you know, from some Texas Tech guy who's just got railroaded. That was brutal. And then we get to my father-in-law's house, turn on the game, and I'm like, oh, look, there's my mom and dad, you know, like just like pointing to them. I kind of look at Lindsay like for a second, kind of a, but anyway, what can you do? I think you're right. I think I made the right choice, but I'm gonna park that one away later on. Okay, let's move on, Andrew. Let's talk about a couple things that happened this week. One, Brandon Rush, we heard finally, I think we'll get his jersey retired in the halls of Allen Fieldhouse. I think very deserving. If Mario Chalmers' jersey's up there, Brandon Rush definitely needs to be up there. Do you agree with this?
100%. He's a 2-time All-American. He was my favorite player when I was in college. Our times lined up very similarly while we were at KU. I got to see him around campus. He was my favorite player. He was the leader of that team from 06 to 08, you know, Bill Self's first real recruiting class. I think he led the team in scoring all 3 years, but like not a high level. It was like 13 or 14 points because everybody was so even on that team. But he was the leader of that team. And, you know, if someone else hits that shot other than Mario, or if we just win by 10, or Brandon Rush is remembered as, you know, the big hero of the team, the main guy of the team. Mario kind of steals that spotlight just because he hits that shot. Now, that shot's the most important shot in KU basketball history. So, you know, good on him because he did it. But without that, I think everyone thinks differently about Brandon Rush going back. So absolutely deserved. You know, he holds a lot of records at KU, even though he's, you know, was there only there for 3 years. And you know what, had a pretty good NBA career. He's still playing. He's still getting paid. I will say this, and I choose to believe this is true. I don't know if it's 100% true, but this is what I've heard, is that the reason Golden State paid him so much money to sit on the bench was that in practice, he's the only one who could guard Steph Curry, and that the Clippers found that out and they wanted to poach him just so he could guard Steph Curry. And they paid him just to sit at the end of the bench and not have to play against him. So now he's in Minnesota. He plays a little bit, but you know, he's getting paid. He's, you know, this is almost a 10-year NBA career. That's tough to even think about. He's 8 years into this career. because this the national championship didn't seem that long ago. But, you know, good on him. He was one of my favorite players. He'll be up in the rafters, you know, next to everybody, you know, and good way to commemorate that team and, you know, a good individual accomplishment.
I agree. You know, you stated it exactly right. You know, he was the freshman of the year in the Big 12, was the first team all Big 12 player all three seasons. He'll actually be the third number 25 in the rafters next to Danny Manning. And can you tell me the other one, Andrew?
I can now because we looked it up a little bit earlier. B.H. Bourne is the other number 5.
How about that? How about that? So, but, you know, obviously big accomplishment and definitely worth it. So I'm excited for that. Hopefully we can be at that game. Good to see him come back. Andrew, let's talk about another little thing that happened over the course of the week. And we got us a new recruit for next year. Now, he'll come in here pretty quick and won't actually be eligible till next January. But
it'll be actually December.
Okay, December.
I think it's when the semester ends. So, like, when, like, finals start to happen, that's when he can start playing. So, look for him around, like, December 15th next year.
Right, and this is Sam Cunliffe. He was an Arizona State player, somewhere around top 40 player in the class of 2016. So he really only played a semester at Arizona State, transferring away from Bobby Hurley's program there. You know, we didn't recruit him, I don't believe, when he was a high schooler, but it was we're going to have a lot of scholarships to fill next year. I think this is a good move. 6'6 guy, shooting guard, you know, 195, averaged something like 10 points for Bobby Hurley's team in the first semester there. I'm not really sure what happened to make him want to transfer, although we will say that if you get a chance, you probably ought to go check his, what do you call that, Andrew, something like a documentary. It's something called Sam I Am on YouTube.
Yeah, it's like a web series documentary about him living the life as a high school recruit and college player.
And it's how do you say it?
Not like 100% flattering.
Yeah, maybe that's a nice way to put it.
Like it's flattering a little bit, but at some level, you're like, why did you do this? Why did you agree to do this?
Hashtag the process is what it's called. Sam I Am. And if you should definitely look at them. You know, here's the one thing I did take away from it. He looks pretty good. I mean, they were showing some of his workout type deals in the gym. Got a smooth stroke, a nice pull-up jumper. Got some extreme athleticism. Andrew, he was the world record holder in the long jump at age 10. How about that? I did learn that from the documentary. So obviously an athletic guy. But yeah, you ought to just check it out. At best, he comes across confident, maybe. Is that the right word? And at worst, he kind of looks like a D-bag. But you know what? If you put a video camera in front of any of these guys, you know, these star high school players, they're probably going to look a little bit the same no matter what. So whatever. Good to see Sam Cunliffe come in, Andrew, from Rainier High School up in the Pacific Northwest. You quizzed me earlier on this, but there's apparently two other players from KU that have been at Rainier, and you had me fooled for a long time on who the second one was. I got CJ Giles is the first one, and Andrew, the second one being, of course, Anrio Adams. Yes.
Our favorite player, our favorite bench player in the last several years, other than a explosion of points off the bench in the Big 12 tournament a couple of years ago, didn't really do much. He's more just like a funny guy to watch on the bench because he kept doing like the soup bowl. Remember when the soup bowl, the eating thing was popular?
Yeah.
He perfected it. He was an artist at doing that on the bench. But anyway, he transferred, and I don't even know what he's doing now. I think he bounced around for a while. I'm not sure he ever played again, but you know, he's a fun guy. So anyway, this will be our third Rainier Beach High School guy. You know, and coming from CJ Giles, who did not have a great end to his career by any means, and Rio Adams, who was just kind of a crazy guy to begin with. I use crazy in a very loving way. This it'll be a I'm interested to see what kind of curriculum they have at Rainier Beach High, because there's got to be some sort of class they take, like how to be a trailblazer, how to get people's attention, because everybody who comes out of there kind of shakes the boat a little bit, rocks the boat.
Yes. By the way, I just Googled Amrio Adams. So he went from Kansas to Ohio University. It gets better. He then left Ohio after only 2 months on campus, never playing a game for the Bobcats, and opted instead to transfer to Odessa College, okay, in Texas, where he averaged about 13 points a game. He then is transferred again to Eastern Kentucky, Andrew. So he'll actually be able to play, I think maybe even this year he's playing for Eastern Kentucky. I could be wrong on that. Maybe next year.
He's still on a roster.
I think so.
Well, because he's got to be 24 at this point, right?
I think so. All right, I'm looking up Eastern Kentucky's roster. I hate typing noises on podcasts. I apologize. But we got to know. Basketball roster. Okay, Eastern Kentucky basketball roster, Andrew.
Drum roll. Is he on it?
First of all, can you tell me what the mascot is of the Eastern Kentucky basketball program?
The Colonels.
Very good. Nice work. Did you know that?
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
Oh, no, I did not know. I just took like a Southern thing that I thought would be a... I had no idea.
It is literally the Colonels.
I swear on James Naismith's grave that I did not look it up. I just took a Southern thing and guessed it.
Well, that was a good guess. It is the Colonels. I'm looking at the roster, though. I'm not seeing Enrio Adams. So,
Oh no.
He's okay. Well, he's not on their roster, but he's on ESPN's roster. I don't know who we trust more, but he's on the ESPN version of the Eastern Kentucky Colonels roster. So he is not playing, I don't believe, though. So that's too bad, but there you go. His last college stats were from the 12-13 season at KU, where he averaged 3.5 minutes and 1.1 points per game. So that's the player profile on ESPN. I'm glad we talked about this. It's good to know where Rio Adams is. And I'm really happy to hear that he's on a roster. So there you have it.
If basketball doesn't work out for him, like just when I do something good just in my daily life, I want him to like jump up and just do like the little eating thing mm-hmm. behind me as I celebrate like mm-hmm. paying this parking ticket. He's like, yeah, and he does the little eating.
I like that. Okay, Andrew, let's move on, because there's a game that I want to talk about, and it is that K-State game a few days ago. You were there. I was in Des Moines, and I found some crappy bar, put the game on. The first thing that happened at this bar was I almost got kicked out, because as soon as Josh Jackson had that ridiculous dunk where he came down the middle of the lane, cocked back and dunked it, I spilled my beer and about flipped over a table. Like that was my reaction. It was kind of one of those, you know, like the movie Friday when like someone walks by and they do the duh, like that thing and they cover their mouth. Like that was my reaction. And unfortunately I knocked everything over, but I didn't get kicked out and watched the rest of the game there. How was the game, first of all? And then I guess let's get to the end.
Okay. So the game was pretty good. We didn't play defense at all. I thought it was a good back and forth. A couple guys that I kind of had not dismissed, but didn't really take a notice of. Dean Wade played excellent against us. I don't think he's an excellent offensive player, but through just kind of fundamentals, you know, St. John's, Kansas fundamentals, and being on the right, you know, playing good, you know, getting the rebounds and playing tough, scored, what, 20, 22 against us?
20, yep.
20 against us. He was, you know, maybe the player of the game if you took it all into consideration. Wesley Wundu stepped up, played great against us. I don't think he's had a great year so far. But, you know, K-State showed a lot, and there's a lot of things we can talk about in this game, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the last 7 seconds because that's all anybody wants to talk about. So the whole building knew that the ball was going to go to Frank Mason.
Right.
Right. and I include everyone in the building with me, the people I was sitting with, KU, because they were told to get the ball to Frank Mason, and obviously Bruce Weber and the Wildcats knew the ball was going to go to Frank Mason. That being said, they kind of took that away because they didn't put a guy on the ball. They put two guys, kind of two and a half, three guys on Frank Mason in the backcourt. So Frank gave it up to Devontae. Devontae gave it up to Sviatoslav, who had the biggest opening, the biggest lane to drive the ball down the floor and get a score. Just so happens that when he got to the three-point line, he picked up his dribble and took a couple steps. But the ball went in. So me being in the stands and it all happening so fast, I didn't really notice what happened. Maybe my eyes aren't trained for it, but I'm not a referee. You can't ask that of me. So, the ball goes in. People are going crazy. People jumping up and down in the stands, jumping across the rows, jumping on top of each other, and the players are all jumping on top of each other. It's a good party. It's a good time. You know, one of those things you only get a couple times if you go to those games. But then the referees started to go to the monitor, and I said to myself, what could they possibly be looking at? And I was sitting next to Parker, who's pay_heed on Twitter. Good follow. And he said, well, I think we won this game because you can't go to the monitor to review travels. Because then I started to think about it like, yeah, that was probably a travel. But they just went to go review to make sure that the time did not expire before he got it off. He got it off and we won the game. And K-State fans have been foaming at the mouth ever since, and it's been hilarious.
It has been delightful. I completely agree. I did my part to absolutely completely embrace the fact that he traveled in that game to win, because it would have been way more. I mean, it wouldn't be fun if you're like, oh boy, we got away with that one. You know, it's way more fun to be like, he traveled and we won. And it makes it like just embrace the whole thing, mostly just for K-State fans. Like the national media, of course, went nuts with it. And every single tweet, no, nothing was about the game. It was all about the end of the game. And that's just how those things go and whatever. But I sure enjoyed the fact that we won in that fashion. Cause honestly, we would have won in overtime, right? Like DJ Johnson was fouled out. We had everybody, we're not going to lose in overtime at Allen Fieldhouse. I am 100% convinced of that. I mean, maybe there's a world in which something happens and they win, but I don't really think it would have happened. Either way, I love the way that it ended. And as I mentioned, I immediately took to Cap Lock's Twitter town and just went bonkers talking about traveling and Sviatoslav and the fact that in Europe you can take three steps and that's just a rule and prove me wrong, Fran, and like whatever else I could come up with. I'd had a few drinks and I wake up the next morning and I had a bunch of tweets to me. They're like, oh, by the way, you should probably check the K-State student newspaper, the whatever it's called, the Collegian, because they quoted you in a bunch of their stories. And I looked at it and they had a top 15 tweets from the night before. And Andrew, I'm pretty proud to say that I had number 6 and number 11 on that list.
Ooh.
How about that? So they're not as funny when you read them aloud, so you can just go read them yourselves. But it was a fun night, absolutely a very fun night. And glad to see, Andrew, this rivalry get kind of spiked up a little bit. I'm a fan of, especially when K-State fans are mad about something like this happening. That just makes it all the better, right?
I think so, too. It's just, I love to see the venom that comes out. And I think it'll make the game in Manhattan a little more interesting. Recently, we have not had a lot of success there. So I think that'll be, you know, definitely the chant will come out.
The chant? Is this the chant you're talking about? If you can't hear it, that is Sandstorm playing. And I can't make out what they're saying, but I'm pretty sure they're saying something about KU.
I can't really hear. I don't know.
Can't make it
really,
out.
These guys are really listening to
me. I can't really make it out, but I have a feeling we're going to hear whatever this is. If few times in Manhattan on February 6th or whatever it is. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We should go to that game, right?
Okay. Is that a weekend?
I don't care.
It doesn't matter. Let's just go.
Let's just go.
Yeah.
We should go to that. I'm going to the Iowa State game in Ames. In, what is that? In next week? Next Monday? I'll be at that game, but I want to go to this game now. We got to do it. We got to find a way. You know what I'll do?
Big Monday game. It's a big Monday.
I'll use this whole, you know, father-in-law thing as my excuse if she says, no, better. It's a Monday. No. Remember the time. So I'm going to try that. We'll do it. I think we can do that.
I like it. All right, let's talk about Texas Tech. This was the game last night. I was expecting a little bit more from the Red Raiders in this game.
Me too.
I it was kind of close at the beginning, but, you know, we ended up winning by, what was it, 18 points with, you know, stellar games from Frank Mason, as always. Josh Jackson put in some good minutes, and Devontae Graham, who a lot of people are sleeping on. But Devontae Graham consistently scores between 16 and 18 points, or 13 and 18 points, basically all season. And
he's been struggling, you know, a little bit, though. I mean,
like recently from three, but in terms of production, point production, look back at his entire season, it's between 13 and 18 points every game.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was happy to see him make some threes last night. That was the one thing that he's, you know, been struggling with a little bit, I guess. Actually, the last two games, he's been pretty good. He went 3 for 7 from three against K-State and 4 for 8 from three against Texas Tech. But before that, Andrew, he was 1 of 7 from three at TCU, 0 of 5 at UNLV, 0 for 3 at Davidson. So there was
He had that little lull, but I think on the whole, I think his three-point percentage is still pretty high.
It is. It is.
And so, I mean, he's going to have games like that. But, you know, don't sleep on him. Everybody talks about Frank Mason, Josh Jackson. But Devontae Graham puts in the minutes, puts and gets the points, gets his assists, gets his great, great defender. So a lot to be said. Don't sleep on Devontae Graham. Some people may say, like, oh, it's not the season he wanted. But this is exactly what we needed from him.
Well, to your point, he averaged 42% from three in his freshman year. 44% from three his sophomore year, and he's at 38% this year. So that will probably correct itself a little bit, I think. And, you know, I think he'll end up being a 40% three-point shooter by the end of the year with no problem. And you know, again, to your point, he's averaging 13 points a game, about 5 assists a game. So he's having a great year, and I think you're right. He has probably been kind of an unheralded player on this team, and maybe – to some degree, he's just been willing to accept that as Frank Mason and Josh Jackson have really kind of taken on a lot of the scoring. But you're exactly right. He's one of my favorite players on this team. I mean, just and extremely important, too. I think you're right. I think this was his best game of the season, though, in terms of scoring, right? I think 20 is the season high.
It's up there. I mean, he's
something like that.
Did he have a 22 game? Well, it doesn't matter. This was one of his better games.
Yeah.
And you know, another guy we need to talk about is Landon Lucas. Beginning of the year, Landon looked out of sorts a little bit. I know he was injured, but yeah. You know, he's coming around. And I say that he scored 8 points and had 6 rebounds. From a statistical standpoint, not anything special. But Landon played great defense yesterday, and I think was the anchor to that defense that really, I think, took a step forward. Against K-State, I think our defense was pretty bad.
Bad. I mean, yeah, you're exactly right.
Can't guard anybody. But I think definitely took a step forward, and that started with Landon Lucas and Josh Jackson as well. I think Josh Jackson took some more chances yesterday defensively. Got a couple steals out of that. But being so risky, he also gave up 2 open threes because he went after a steal. And...
I'm okay with that, though.
Yeah, so he's been taking more chances. It's led to a couple runouts, but also some open shots. So, you know, defensively, we're at least turning the dial up a little bit.
Yeah, that was obviously a big change from the K-State game. I mean, K-State game is probably the worst I mean, even statistically, one of the worst defensive outputs that Kansas has had under Bill Self. It was bad. And the crazy part is they were getting layups. I mean, that was the part that probably just drove Self nuts, was the fact that, I mean, that was not the normal recipe for beating KU, is just jacking and making a bunch of threes. They were getting easy shots. And against Texas Tech, I think you're right, they really did ramp it up a little bit, played with a little bit more intensity, which is kind of what Self said after the game. They had a little more desire on defense. I'm sure they probably had a few words during practice the week after the K-State game to make sure that happened. And to your point, I think Landon has been a good part of that. You know, he's not getting a lot of block shots. In fact, I think Josh Jackson has more blocks than Landon on the season, but he's in good position. I mean, on both sides, but especially on defense, he's such an anchor inside. And, you know, avoiding foul trouble is going to be key for him, which he's been pretty good at during his career. And again, to your point, in terms of kind of statistical output, Andrew, he's averaging, I don't know what it is, something like 13 or 14 boards a game in the Big 12 play. I mean, here's his stat line the last, let's just call it six games: 12-7, 8-8, 4-12, 15-17, 18-12, and 8-6. So, I mean, three out of the four games, he had over 12 boards. And, you know, he's doing work, man. And it was sad to see that Azubuike got hurt, and it's obviously going to really hurt our depth, and we cannot afford any other injuries or suspensions or anything else. But if Landon keeps playing like he's playing, I think we're going to be all right.
I think so too. And, you know, he's not a shot blocker like we've seen in the past, right? But you just got to know that and work around it, because he's going to be able to do everything else pretty good. I mean, my brother talks about it's a bad offensive move, or it's a bad offensive play if Landon Lucas has to make a post move to get a shot. I agree with that. I think Landon needs to be getting putbacks, but if he's got to get the ball, you know, down low and then do a couple post moves, it's not a great offensive play. Just do the dirty work. You know, if you got a good mismatch, you know, we've seen him take advantage of guys a lot smaller than him. Sure. But if he's got a guy who's his size and he's trying to get do a post move, that's not his game. Not his game. Got to recognize our limitations and strengths and just really play to those. And I think if we do that, we'll be strong down low.
One thing about Landon, like we've said this for years now, he is one of the best sealers of using his body to seal his man of anyone I've ever seen at KU. I mean, he is incredible at getting position. The problem is when he gets his ball after he gets his position, it's sometimes a disaster. But I think he's getting better at using sealing off and then creating, instead of having to do a post move, like you said, sealing and getting an easy basket rather than sealing, getting position, and then having to put a dribble on the ground and do a move. If he has to do that, we're in jail. You're right. But he's been pretty good at sealing and then and creating, you know, a dunk or an easy pass or an easy shot. So I think you're right. I don't want him shooting the ball. I don't want him having to make any offensive moves other than straight up and dunk. Like, and the good news is he's finding ways to do that. So it's been fun to watch. I'm really happy for Landon, and I've been pretty down on him for most of his career, but you know, I'm absolutely willing to apologize and eat crow if he continues to play the way he is, because we need him. Andrew, what else do we want to talk about in terms of the Texas Tech, K-State games? Any other stories this week, or should we move on to talk?
Well, just
about what's coming up?
You know, KU's defense is really going to dictate how far it goes in the Big 12 and, you know, in postseason play. I'm not worried about the offense at all.
I know.
The offense is going to come. It's really going to be if this team can be a Bill Self defense that we've traditionally seen these past 13, 14 years, this team's going to go a long way. But the defense is going to take it. They have to take us there. The offense is going to be there. It's going to be there. I'm not worried about that one bit. But we'll see. But let's look ahead to next week, Kevin. Got two games. And I hate to say this, and I don't want to jinx it, but this is maybe a little more of a breather week. Ooh. Just in the sense of if you could have one. If there's a possible, if you had to pick one week out of this whole schedule, it's like, okay, well, maybe this is the one where you know, back in the past, like, you know, early days of Big 12, like, oh, even Nebraska and Colorado this week. You're like, oh, okay, well, this week will be fine. I don't think that you get any of that in the Big 12. But here we've got two teams towards the bottom, and the tougher team we play at home. And so we go to Norman, Oklahoma, against the Sooner team that I don't think is very good.
Yeah, they're struggling, man. Obviously, they've lost a lot of folks from last year. Looking at this game on KenPom, looks like KenPom's through his little computer wizardry is predicting an 83-74 KU victory. Oklahoma in our power rankings, Andrew, which we can talk about here in a little bit, but a sneak peek, Oklahoma's last on the Jayhawk Talk power rankings this week. I think deservedly so. I don't know what to really say about them other than I think they're last in KenPom in the Big 12. I think they're 75th now. They've really dropped off. They've lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row and 7 of 8. I mean, just not a Lon Kruger type of year. Hard to believe. And they lost by 26 to Baylor at home. They got beat close game at TCU and lost by 11 to K-State. So yeah, this game, I don't know what more to say other than, you know, that they're a decent 3-point shooting team. That's about all they got going for them. So you could see a world in which they jack and make a bunch of threes on us, but I think that's really the only strategy, I guess, to beat KU in this game.
Yeah, and things to look out for. The only really returning names that we're going to recognize are Jordan Woodard, obviously a key player from last year. He's a senior this year. Kadeem Latin, you know, their big guy down low who, you know, gave us a little bit of trouble last year, mostly defensively. He's still around. But otherwise, a lot of new faces, a lot of guys who are being asked to take in step up and do big roles. So this is not going to be a Final Four year for the Oklahoma Sooners. It's going to be tough for them to win some games. But, you know, we haven't had a ton of success in Norman lately. You know, I've been to two games where they've rushed the court on us down there in the past several years. That's never fun. But this year is not going to be the year where I think that they're going to have that opportunity in terms of them. It's going to be even a struggle for them to make a postseason this year. So maybe a little down year for Lon. I don't think they're the worst team in the Big 12. Maybe they're power ranked that way right now. And the Jayhawk Talk power rankings, the most important Big 12 power rankings out there.
Sure.
But this isn't going to be their year.
Let's move on and talk about the Oklahoma State matchup. We play this game at home, and this will be on Saturday. And just back to KenPom, his little computer numbers say they're going to lose 92-80. So a 12-point game there. They are 0-3 in the Big 12, lost pretty handily to West Virginia, played Texas close away and lost that game. That's Texas's only win in the Big 12, 82-79. And then Andrew last night played Baylor very close at Baylor, 61-57 game there. So, you know, they've had a chance to win that game actually. So, you know, Oklahoma State, I think, is a better team than Oklahoma. Right now in the power rankings, we've got them number 9, but that's really more of a reflection of their record and the fact that they do have a pretty big blowout loss to West Virginia. I think this team's actually pretty good under Brad Underwood. I mean, Underwood's been a pretty good coach for them. They got off to a pretty hot start. They actually play a little bit like a West Virginia team, you know, short possessions, effect, you know, good turnover percentage. I think they're 5th in KenPom and actually also similar to West Virginia. They're 6th in offensive rebound percentage. So they'll kind of get after you. But I still think KU's got a pretty good chance, obviously, at home against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and that's the only thing. I think when we go down to Stillwater, that's going to be a tough matchup. But at home, that's, and the only reason I say, you know, it's a little bit of an easier, I hate to say the word easy, but a little less of a stressful week is because that Oklahoma State game is at home. But, you know, there's no days off in the Big 12. Like, this is going to be a pretty tough year. It's going to be tough to win. It's always tough to win, but this year especially. So it'll be exciting to play the Oklahoma schools. We've got a lot of big games coming up. Kevin, let's move on and talk about the Big 12 as a whole, and let's do that by doing some power rankings.
Whoops, I just knocked my mic over. I was trying to do a drop, but it's too late now. Let's just move along.
Go, go, power rankers.
Yeah, I was going to do the Big 12 one, and then you hit me with the power rankers, and then I got all kind of messed up. Okay.
Okay.
Let's just go on here. I'm not even going to cut this out. Oh, hey, here's power rankers. Okay, we'll just have this play as we get started here, okay? Andrew, the power rankers. Big 12, we talked about. We already got 9 and 10, but who's your number one?
Well, I'll give it to KU just because this is the Jayhawk Talk podcast, and we have full faith in our team, and we're the best team in the conference, so I'm going to go with us. There's one other undefeated team that will likely be the number one team in the country come Monday.
Yikes.
That is the Scott Drew-led Baylor Bears.
Dabbers.
Number one team undefeated.
You know, they
just let that pour over you. Just
I can't.
How's it feel? How does it feel?
Well, to their credit, they keep winning games. That's good. The last two have been very close games. The Iowa State game at home, again, this is at Baylor. They almost lost. They only won by 2 points. Against Oklahoma State, again, they almost lost, 61-57. Both of those were home games. Three of the next four, they go on the road. That's including West Virginia in there and K-State as well. So we'll find out who Baylor is this week, I think. Tuesday will be obviously a huge test. That's at West Virginia. If they go into West Virginia and win that game, you know, maybe I'll start to believe a little bit more, but I don't see that happening. I don't think you do either. And, you know, I guess we'll find out when that happens. But we do play them not for a while. We actually don't play Baylor until February. So we will have some time here to see if they're the real deal before we play them. And realistically, Andrew, other than West Virginia, their schedule is actually sort of simple. They've got K-State, Texas, TCU, Tech, and Mississippi before they play us. So they, other than the West Virginia game here, they got a chance. If they win the West Virginia game, there's a realistic chance they'll be undefeated, you know, coming into Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse on the first. So this West Virginia game is a big one, though I will say, and I think you would agree, we've seen this movie before. I don't think they will be undefeated when they come into Kansas. In fact, I think they'll have a few losses. What do you think of this Baylor team?
You know, honestly, I haven't had a lot of time to watch them. I think I've watched them twice. I do like their new guy, their new point guard. His name is Manu Lecompte.
I think it's Lecompte.
Lecompte? I'm going to say Lecompte.
I don't think that's right.
That's what I'm going to say. Whatever.
Right. Whatever you want, but I'm pretty sure it's
otherwise. Otherwise, other than him, who I do like that guy.
Yeah, he's good.
Jonathan Motley, you know, we know him. He's, you know, been a force, you know, especially coming along last year. But, you know, even as a freshman, he was putting up big numbers. And then Al Freeman, you know, I think we recruited him. And Alaric. He's now, yep. Yeah, he's coming along as well. You know, mostly 3-point shooter, takes a lot of 3-point shots. I think he's taken 50, 60 on the year, which is quite a bit so far. So those are the guys to look out for. You know, we've seen this movie before. How many times do we have to see this? But I mean, if you read Mark Titus on The Ringer, now he does the pretty good power rankings. He made a comment that I'd like to share with everyone is that for Kansas to lose the Big 12, all we have to do is rely on Scott Drew not screwing it up. Well, what could go wrong?
That's pretty good.
And yeah, I do. I would like to see a KU Baylor 1-2 matchup coming in when they come. But we've got West Virginia and we've got Kentucky.
Right.
At West Virginia, at Kentucky, coming up in the next few weeks. I don't know if that's going to happen. But that'd be a lot of fun.
That would be fun.
So anyway, we'll go with Baylor number two. I don't think they're the number two team. I think that West Virginia is a better team than them and will end up being a better team. But for now, they're an undefeated team. They'll be the number one team in the country. We'll go ahead and put them number two. They probably should be number one, but whatever. that's not how we're going to do this.
But whatever. West Virginia's number three. We agree on at least those three teams being in that order or some order. The Andrew, the fourth team was the hardest one, right?
I think so, too. I think that there's a lot of teams that have a legitimate beef, like four teams have an argument for that. And that'd be K-State, Texas Tech, TCU, and
Iowa State.
Maybe not TCU, although I think TCU is pretty good. So let's just keep it at Iowa State, Texas Tech, and K-State. Each of them have a legitimate argument. Texas Tech probably has the best win because they beat West Virginia. But, you know, then they got blown up by Kansas. K-State's been playing really well. And then Iowa State, you know, other than they lost to Baylor, right? Other than their loss to Baylor, they've gotten two wins. They're 2-1. So who are you putting at number four?
I put K-State. I didn't feel great about it. Actually, KenPom has Texas Tech a little better than K-State, but they're close. K-State's actually 29th in KenPom with wins over Texas and Oklahoma. You know, not very impressive wins, I guess, in the Big 12, but obviously played Kansas close. 2-point game there. And I don't, you know, they've won, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, 9 of their last 10 games. Their only other loss was to Maryland on a one possession game. So their only two losses, Andrew, are by 1 point and 2 points. K-State is. So, you know, I kind of like them. As you mentioned, we were kind of impressed by their team. They got good shots against Kansas. We didn't really play much defense, but I think they probably deserve it right now, but I am certainly willing to listen to any argument for Tech, Iowa, or Iowa State in that number four spot. What about you?
You know, K-State, the only credit you're giving them is playing Kansas close, because their other wins aren't, you know, for just basing off conference wins, aren't that great. And they didn't really have a great non-conference. So I'm going to go with Texas Tech because they got that win against West Virginia. I'll go Texas Tech, Iowa State, then K-State. But, you know, they're all interchangeable to me.
That's fair. To your point, the Red Raiders are 1-2 in the Big 12, but those two losses were to Kansas, as we know, and then lost a fairly close game at Iowa State, which that's going to happen. And then, as you mentioned, big win against West Virginia. Iowa State, you know, we weren't sure about them, right? Because they had a rough stretch where they lost 3 of 4 against Gonzaga and Cincinnati, and bad loss to Iowa, and then lost to Baylor by 2. So that was a close game. So maybe they have a point also to be right there. They beat Texas Tech and had to come back. Yeah,
Shouldn't have won that game, but they ended up winning.
That was a crazy game. I forgot about that. And then they beat Texas by 9 yesterday. So I don't know. Again, I'm willing to listen to any way you put those three teams. The last three, we've got Texas and then Oklahoma State and Oklahoma.
Well, we'll put
TCU. I'm sorry.
They're probably firmly at number 7.
I agree with that. Yep. TCU and then rounding out the bottom three. Although I think TCU is a lot better than Texas, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma. What do you think about that?
I do agree with that.
If we're putting these teams in tiers, if you will. TCU, I think, is 37th in KenPom. Lost by 12 to West Virginia away. You know, that's going to happen. Obviously, lost to Kansas as well. In a, you know, reasonably close game, 86-80 at home. And then they beat Oklahoma. So we'll see. They actually, their stretch here, TCU, they play Texas on Wednesday. So if they beat that team, which they should, and then they've got Iowa State at home and Texas Tech away, There's a chance they win those three games, you know, and they're back to 4-2 in the Big 12 and toward the top of the standings, and probably going to go up the Jayhawk Talk power rankings too. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think Oklahoma State has an argument to jump up there and be kind of on par or maybe better than TCU. But at this point, being 0-3, I don't think we can put them up.
Can't do it. All right. Well, Andrew, I just have one other thing that I wanted to talk about real quickly. In that game last night against Tech, did you see the whole technical foul and the flop thing that happened with Landon Lucas? You probably saw it Maybe well, better I than did. I did since you were there. But
yeah, I did. And it was kind of like 4 free points for us. It should have been 5 free points for us. But it was kind of like we were up by 5. And then suddenly, within like a few seconds, we were up by 10. Like, it's kind of like somebody waved their wand, like 5, and then, no, now you're up 10. Just right. Because of all this weird situation that happened.
Well, it was, yeah, it was Texas Tech big man Anthony Livingston, who, with his antics in that game, Andrew, I think has catapulted up the Jayhawk Talk rankings for the Kim English D-Bag of the Year award in the Big 12 for the Jayhawk Talkies. He had a, you know, hard technical or a hard foul against Frank. Landon stepped in, of course, as you should. And after the game, Landon gave this quote, and I kind of got a kick out of it, so I'm going to read it. Landon said, "That's our point guard, and he got fouled pretty hard, so I just went up very nicely and asked Livingston not to foul him that hard. He felt like I was attacking him or something and wanted to throw himself against the back of the hoop and then realized that that didn't do anything, so he came up, pushed me, and then got the tech. I was really just making sure that he knew not to foul Frank that hard." And then he said, "It reminded me of someone who used to play at Oklahoma State." Because did you see the flop where, like, he tried to make it look like Landon pushed him, and I think Jesse Newell had a good piece in the Star today. It was like he did it with his eyes. He like pushed him with a superpower.
Hey, I wouldn't put it past Landon to have some sort of telekinetic powers. Although if he did, man, we should use it more often.
No kidding, right? That's a really good point. Maybe Jesse unearthed something there. He needs to dig a little farther for a long, lengthy feature piece on Landon Lucas's superpowers. But anyway, all right. Well, Andrew, unless you got anything else, I say we get out of here. Excited for this week and excited, Andrew, that we are back on the Jayhawk Talk podcast, on a weekly podcast. See, we proved it. We are back and hope to do so next weekend as well. So until then, rock chalk, and please do leave us a comment on iTunes if you haven't done that. It really helps us get the ratings out there or the podcast out there to new listeners. You can find me at Jayhawk Talk. You can find Andrew at Sherlock Hoops. And until next time. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. 9 times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold
hold them ones high. Shout out to the booster showing love and the alumni. Now I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.